I'm not going to start over. However, okay, so technical difficulties because of operator error. I forgot to have my microphone on. Welcome to everybody who's here. So we're looking forward to a great time together, especially this time when we look into God's Word. Would you join me as we pray together? Lord, thanks so much for your great, great grace. Thank you for the privilege of worship. For those who are live streaming or who will view this at some later point, we pray, Father, that you would bring great blessing for all ages, through all that is said in these minutes, for all of us who are here physically right now. Pray the same thing, Lord. Please touch hearts by the truth of your word, by the things that we remember, the things that we may learn today. We pray, Father, right now for the Richard and Jean Deere family. Richard is going through some really hard times in his physical life, and we just lift up all of them to you and pray for great wisdom and care in the care for Richard, and that he would know in deep places your great love for him. We pray for the Pettersons as they continue to pray for Shirley, and after her recent brain hemorrhage, Lord, we thank you that she is in the Pettersons' home where she's loved and cared for and surrounded by family. Pray that Shirley would experience your comfort, your grace, your love. For all those who are in special need, Father, we lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Pray that increasingly we could be the body of Christ to those who are in need. And we do commit now our time in your word. Ask that you would open our eyes to what you want us to see, to learn, to remember, so that we can take our own next steps with Jesus. Pray in his name. Amen. All right, so, and happy Father's Day to all today. I also would just let you in on a secret. This is also Kathy's birthday, my wife's birthday. Now, don't tell anybody. This is supposed to be kind of a secret. Kathy loves it when Father's Day and her birthday fall on the same day. So, you know, obviously, it's all about Kathy today. So, just to kind of orient us to where we're going today, when a teenager makes his or her first foray into the world of solo driving, just about guaranteed to hear, "Be safe," as he or she fishtails out of the driveway and then peels off down the street. They need to hear, be safe. It's not safe to text while driving, so we don't do that. It's actually not even safe to text while walking, and you can check YouTube for that one too. COVID-19 is part of our current reality, so it makes sense to adjust our lives accordingly. Different ones of us will adjust differently, but all of us are going to keep safety in mind for ourselves and for those who are around. We have certainly adjusted the way we do church. Schools go online, businesses go remote, restaurants separate tables. So safe living is wise living. It's foolish to take unnecessary risks, especially for uncertain gains. It's better to play it safe. Don't be reckless. Don't be stupid. Stay safe out there. And having said all that, we're addressing the reality today that there are risks worth taking. In June of 2019, the Voice of the Martyrs first observed the Day of the Christian Martyr. And June 29th was set as that date because that's the date the church has traditionally recognized. That's the day that the Apostle Paul died by Rome's hand in Rome. It's a little bit out of sync calendar-wise. It's not the 29th today, but this message today fits perfectly with our current series, When Life Hits Hard. So we are considering today those for whom life has hit especially hard because they are following hard after Jesus in places where it's risky to do so. Interspersed with a few stories today, I want to present you with a biblical framework for understanding the life to which Jesus calls us when he invites us to follow him. Nobody who follows Jesus can say they're shocked or surprised if opposition comes, because predictions of a bumpy ride are all throughout the New Testament. I met a young man who was not surprised when he experienced opposition on the first trip that the church sponsored to Russia back in 1999 when Todd Havacost and I traveled there. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. First, let's listen to what Jesus has to say about suffering for him. These are words he said on the night before he died. He's preparing his disciples for what it's going to be like after he's gone. John chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he's offering service to God. This is really important for us to hear. Those who oppose those of us who follow Jesus often do that because they think it's the right thing to do. Get inside the heads of those who oppose. They're not going out of the way to do something they know is bad. People who hold to a different religion than Christians think they're pleasing God by opposing Christians. People who oppose our faith based on philosophical grounds do so because they think Christianity has an intellectually flawed foundation. There were terrible false rumors being spread in the first centuries after Christ lived and died about the church and about what Christians did in their secret worship services. If those were true, and if you heard those and thought they were true, you would oppose the faith. So we will be opposed. Sometimes it'll be a serious name calling. Sometimes we'll be made outcast. Sometimes the suffering will be physical. So John 16 talked about that. Matthew 10 does as well. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men. They'll hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. So sometime, if you have a chance to skim a book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's a very old book, and it's updated regularly to describe the deaths of those who have died for Christ. Or if you just look at the resources on, say, the Voice of the Martyrs website, you'll see that what Jesus is warning about here has been true throughout the centuries, and it's true today. Release International is a ministry that serves the worldwide persecuted church. They estimate that every month, 333 Christians are killed for their faith. 66 Christian church buildings are attacked. 218 Christians are arrested and imprisoned without a trial. 180 Christian women are raped or sexually harassed or forced into a marriage with a man who is hostile to Christianity. Now, not every Christian is going to suffer extreme persecution. Some will. Jesus told the Apostle Peter that he would die a martyr's death. The Lord told the man who was going to welcome Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, into the faith, told Ananias, let Paul know that he's going to suffer a lot for Jesus after he has made other people suffer a lot for Jesus. But then you just kind of page through the New Testament and you find these general purpose comments written to Christians of all ages that it's not going to be a remarkable thing for us to suffer as we follow Jesus. The Apostle John wrote late in life, he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John as an old man. He said, don't be surprised if the world hates you. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, if Christ, the Son of God, suffered, don't be surprised if you, a Christ one, suffer as well. And the reason we suffer is because the world is still under the dominion of spiritual forces of wickedness. And we have a spiritual enemy who hates our message, the gospel, and he is energizing a spirit that opposes everything we stand for in Jesus. So those who oppose Christianity are actually victims of our enemy. So Peter talked about it, John talked about it, Paul did as well. The last letter we have from Paul, he's writing from a dungeon in Rome right before he's put to death for his faith in Christ. And he writes to his good friend Timothy, and he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of my chains. You can imagine being asked, Timothy's asked, so where's Paul now? He's back in jail. He wasn't to be ashamed of his good friend Paul, who is often in prison. And then he invites Timothy to join him in suffering for the gospel. Paul and Timothy were good friends. Maybe they were best friends. Paul was certainly Timothy's mentor. They were allies. They loved each other. And Paul urges Timothy to do the kinds of things that will result in suffering for Christ. And that's not Paul being mean. That's Paul believing that the very best life he can urge Timothy to live is the life where you lay it all on the line for Christ and you're willing to take risks for Jesus. From Paul's perspective, taking risks for Jesus that might result in suffering for Jesus is part and parcel of what it means to follow Jesus. Now, this young man I met in Russia, who faced opposition, knew all about this firsthand. He lived in one of the Central Asian republics that formerly made up the Soviet Union. He had come to the city of Nizhnekamsk in Tatarstan for a Bible conference, and Todd and I were among a team of people who were doing some Bible teaching for pastors there. So at the end of the 2 weeks of teaching and training, there was a big banquet. We were all seated at banquets. Sitting next to me was a translator. Across the table was this young man from something or other, Stan. I was asking questions about his life back home, and he told me of something that routinely happened in his city when a convert to Christianity from Islam was baptized. Before baptism, the Muslims in the city would leave the convert completely alone, but after baptism, which is a statement of commitment, the new convert was routinely beaten up. And that happened to this young man. He told me about it. He was completely calm about what he told me. There was no shock on his face. He wasn't surprised to be opposed because he had read in his New Testament that you can expect opposition if you're standing firm for Jesus. And today, you and I, right here, right where you sit, are forearmed when it comes to suffering for Jesus because we've been forewarned. Following Jesus brings all kinds of blessings and benefits. Sins are forgiven, eternal life, presence of the Holy Spirit. But a major thread that runs through all the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, is the idea that life may become increasingly hard if we follow Jesus. Like right after the church is established in Jerusalem, apostles of Jesus, the leaders of the church, are thrown into jail twice. And then Stephen is stoned to death for preaching Christ. And then Saul of Tarsus launches an offensive against Christians, and he arrests them, puts them in jail, and kills them when he can. And the apostle James is put to death by Herod. And that theme of persecution follows in the rest of the book of Acts. It's focusing mainly on what happened to Saul, who is now the apostle Paul. So on the first missionary journey, Paul and his friend Barnabas are opposed in Pisidian Antioch, in Iconium, and then Paul is nearly stoned to death in Lystra. On the second missionary journey, Paul and his friend, kind of makes you nervous about being Paul's friend, but on the second missionary journey, he and his friend Silas are in Philippi, and they are arrested, beaten, and placed in jail for preaching Christ. On the third missionary journey, Paul is in Ephesus, and there is a riot aimed at overwhelming Paul and his friends. And then we turn to his letters. And in the letters that Paul wrote to churches, he tells us about beatings he got from both Jews and from Romans, and imprisonments and dangers of all kinds, shipwrecks and sleeplessness and terrible storms and lack of food and abandonment by co-workers. Paul's life was made immeasurably more rich by the presence of Christ in his life, and harder. There are millions of Christians in the world right now who would say amen to that. Richer and harder. And if you want to find out more about these courageous disciples, I have a tool. There's a tool available. It's not mine. Just know about it. And it'll inform you. It'll help you remember and pray for your brothers and sisters who are suffering for Jesus around the world. It's an app on your phone, and it's easy to download. I did it, so you can do it. And it gives you a prayer request based on a country that's somewhere Christians are suffering. Just about every day before we eat breakfast, Kathy and I pray for one of these highlighted countries. Today we prayed for the Central African Republic, that the church would remain united despite national fragmentation due to ongoing conflict. And you can pray. You can even tap, I prayed today, and then you know how many people prayed. So far, 882 people have prayed for the Central African Republic today. Did you just pray? Okay, that's 820-something now. So there's lots of people praying about that every day. And we've prayed for Ethiopians and Burmese, or the folks of Myanmar, Chiapas, Mexico, Tunisia, Indonesia. So get the app and you'll learn more about how you can pray for suffering Christians. Another way to stay informed, of course, is to learn the stories of individual Christians. And that's something that the Day of the Christian Martyr allows us to do. So this year, the story being highlighted is a story, and there's the picture of Pastor Jean-Paul Sankangui, and he lived in the Central African Republic. In 1993, he established a church not far from the capital city, and for many years maintained really good relationships between his church and the Islamic community there. But then there was a civil war, and the civil war hit in 2013, and it changed everything. Things had been friendly. They're no longer friendly, no longer even tolerant. A lot of the members of Pastor Jean-Paul's church fled the area. His wife, Mary, urged him, let's go to another place where it's safer. But he believed God had called him to stay in that place, so they stayed. And on February 7th, 2017, followers of a very powerful Islamic warlord shot Pastor Jean-Paul outside of his church, and then they looted his church and his house. And he knew it was coming. He knew the risks, and he believed that God's call on his life was to stay, pastor that church, win as many Muslims to Christ as he possibly could, and pay whatever price was necessary. Pastor Jean-Paul's name is now inscribed on a wall along with others who have paid the price on a martyr's wall at the Voice of the Martyrs headquarters up in Oklahoma. One more powerful example of someone who understood the worth of Christ. And he is now watching us as we run our race. And Jesus says, imitate his faith. The New Testament prepares us for suffering, prepares us for opposition, tells us what could very well happen. It also tells us how we are to respond when we are opposed. In that last letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, there's this line, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, which is just saying, expect it. Don't be surprised if it happens. I've lived for a long time as a follower of Jesus. I desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. Persecution has not been a major part of my story, but if it comes, I will know exactly how I'm to respond. So will you. First, we will bless those who are making our life hard. Romans 12, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. And we'll be able to do that because we'll remember Jesus. When he was reviled and accused and mistreated, he did not revile in return. And when he was beaten and scourged and crucified, he forgave. And we'll remember Stephen. Stephen was the first Christian martyr, and he remembered Jesus. So he preached this powerful sermon right there in Jerusalem. And the audience was listening, and they heard everything he said about Jesus being the Messiah and all Jesus' death and resurrection. And when he finished speaking, they picked up rocks to stone him. And he didn't curse them. And as the rocks flew and as they found their mark, he forgave them, just like Jesus. Recurring theme I find in the stories of persecuted Christians is that they don't retaliate when attacked. They don't make sure to give as good as they get. They bless and they curse not. So if the time comes when you and I are called upon to suffer for following Jesus, we will be loving, we will be gracious as we've been shown grace. And we'll rejoice. The book of Hebrews is written to a group of Christians who were suffering persecution. They'd already suffered terrible humiliations. And the author of the book of Hebrews writes this in chapter 10. You showed sympathy to the prisoners. You accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves better possessions and a lasting possession. So if we are made outcasts for our faith, for following Jesus, if we get beaten up or robbed for talking so much about Jesus, we will rejoice because we have better possessions than membership in the in crowd. We have better possessions than material goods and even intact bodies. We possess eternal life. We possess forgiven sin. We possess the Holy Spirit. He possesses us, but we possess him. And we have a family that spans the globe. And when we begin to face persecution, we won't throw in the towel. This is from Hebrews again. Remember, this is written to Christians who are currently suffering. And he says, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, he's talking about Jesus, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And just think of all the times when Jesus could have called it quits. I mean, the first time was when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Or when he was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. Or when the Pharisees and the scribes just kept on hammering him. And the disciples never seemed to get it, but he never quit. He persevered. And if Jesus persevered, we'll persevere too. There's something that's true. It's not often mentioned, but it's very true. Very, very rarely are people persecuted simply because they're Christians. People are persecuted because they're outspoken Christians. So if the time comes when we suffer for our faith in Jesus, our outspoken faith for Jesus, we may be tempted to tone it down and to stop being so bold. Because the reality is we can avoid most opposition by simply being quiet and passive. And we won't do that. We won't lose heart. We won't grow weary. We will love boldly, just like Jesus did, even to the point at which our own blood is shed. That's the kind of great faith our God wants to build into all of us today. Now, I'd like for you to listen to what Jesus has to say by way of blessing to people who have suffered for Christ. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, God is going to honor and bless and reward those who suffer for the sake of Jesus. And this year, the Day of the Christian Martyr recognizes Pastor Jean-Paul Sankagui in the Central African Republic. Last year, on the first Day of the Christian Martyr, the family that was recognized was the Groenewalds from South Africa, a family of four, mom and a dad and a son and a daughter. And they left a very safe, comfortable life in South Africa and traveled to Afghanistan. Very risky move. On a very normal, very calm day in 2014, Islamic terrorists invaded the home where they were living. And the mother, the wife, Hannah Lee, was not in the house at that time. She was in another part of the city working in a medical center, medical clinic. But the father, Werner, and the son, Jean-Pierre, and the daughter, Rode, were all killed. Now it happens that Rochelle Meyer knew the family. And Rochelle, our hearts bleed for you and the loss that you've experienced in losing these good friends. But she knew them back in South Africa, and then serving with different organizations, they met up again in Afghanistan. And you served with the Groenewalds in, was it Kabul? In prison ministry together. And you, Rochelle, went to Afghanistan as a single woman, and you took the same kind of risks that they did. And today we think about the courage of what's involved in kind of throwing caution to the wind and laying it all on the line, and we honor this family of four that went there, and we honor you, Rochelle, for your faith and faithfulness to do that. So if we honor those who have so faithfully followed Jesus, just imagine what our Heavenly Father is going to do for those who have willingly risked so greatly to serve Jesus. He's going to honor, he's going to bless, he's going to reward. That whole theme is all throughout the New Testament. Jim Elliott, a missionary who died in 1956 in Ecuador, martyred for his faith, he's the one who first said, "He is no fool who gives up what he can't keep in order to gain what he can't lose." So today, outspoken Christians are suffering for Jesus in dangerous places around the world. The place where we live today is less friendly to our faith than it once was. Is following Jesus going to increasingly fall out of favor here? I sure don't know. Well, one thing the COVID-19 phenomenon tells us is that cultures can change, and they can change fast. So I just began reading a book that was recommended to me by Alex Mandis. It's a book that is intended to guide churches through a changing face of American culture. It's called Canoeing the Mountains. And it describes, it draws lessons from the Lewis and Clark expedition, which was, you know, to find a Northwest Passage across the American continent to the Pacific Ocean, and it was 1803. And so it's describing how do you serve Jesus? How do you do church? How do you lead when you're off the map? And that phrase, off the map, came because of a point in the expedition where the Lewis and Clark travelers came to the headwaters of the Missouri River, and the thinking was that once you cross the Missouri River and get past that and cross that last crest, it's going to be smooth sailing all the way to the Pacific Ocean. Well, they got to the crest at the top of that mountain where the headwaters came out and formed the Missouri, and they saw in the distance the most difficult terrain they had ever passed through, harder than anything they'd ever been through. It was the Rocky Mountains. They still had to go through the Rocky Mountains, and they were off the map at that point. Every step they took was a risky move. So the illustration works because here in America, we haven't had all that much experience with persecution for the sake of following Jesus. It's off the map for us. But it's not really off the map. Jesus told us to expect it, and he lived it, and the early church experienced it, and Christians through the centuries have lived through it. Christians today are living through it now. And we have our map. The map is the New Testament. It tells us the church was made for times like these, to thrive. We were saved for times just like this. And the rules of the game are love and service and faith and prayer. And the prize will be determined by our Father. It might be hearing well done, but it'll be honor, it'll be blessing, it'll be reward from our Heavenly Father, and he knows how to reward his people for faithfulness. Amen? Just a moment, we're going to hear a song from Amy Shreve. It's called Beautiful Scars, and then we'll sing a little bit more and be dismissed. I'm going to pray. If you have young children who are watching the feed with you right now, you might want to turn off the monitor because the song is Beautiful Scars, and there's some graphic images of scars. But listen to the song. It's a beautiful song. If you would join me now, let's just pray before the video shows. Lord, thank you for the powerful message that we hear, that we see all around us by Christians who are paying the price. We pray that while we have opportunity, we be bold, courageous disciples for Jesus. We pray too, Father, that if the day comes, when the day comes, that it is dangerous to stand for Jesus, we would stand firm. We would imitate the faith of those who have gone before us. Until that day when we see you, help us to stand firm for him. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name.